Hello and welcome to this latest Phrase of Allender podcast. This week we've had the spending review and we're going to spend a bit of time talking about this alongside new data for Scotland on GDP. I'm joined today by my colleagues Mary Sparridge and David Iser to talk through some of these issues. And thank you both for joining. So let's start with the spending review. It's a bit odd this year, obviously. We've not had the budget, which we would normally expect, and instead we had the Chancellor outlining spending plans for the next year. And obviously this was done at the UK level, but it always will have consequences down the line for Scotland. So that's what we'll start with. David, do you want to just give us some of the big stories from spending review this week and outline what that means for Scotland?
Well, of course, the a lot of the headlines focused on these sort of big scary numbers for this year and next year. The economy is forecast to shrink by 11% this year and sort of partially recover next year. Huge increase in borrowing, as was of course well anticipated, and that will sort of gradually come down over the next few years. Of course, there's huge uncertainty around a lot of those numbers, as the OBR sort of was at pains to point out. I mean, some people, there's a case for saying that the OBR is actually a little bit pessimistic in the short term. I mean, it was actually doing these forecasts at a time when the news around vaccines was only beginning to come out. And then in the longer run, whether it is pessimistic or optimistic in its view that COVID will shrink the economy by around 3% each year in the long run is, well, we'll have to wait and see. So huge uncertainty there. But where there's more certainty is in terms of what the spending review actually means for the Scottish budget next year in 21-22. And there were two sort of big questions, I suppose, there. One was how much the Scottish government's core block grant for non-COVID public spending would increase, and how much of the temporary COVID-related spending that we've seen this year would persist next year. And we got answers on both of those things, although there's some uncertainties, of course, which we might want to touch on later. But in terms of the core non-COVID funding, the block grant will be up by around 1.3 billion in 21-22 compared to this year. So that means we're looking at real terms increases of basically 3.5% in each of the last 2 years. So in the context of recent past, those are not bad real terms increases, but of course that only just takes us back to sort of 2010 levels in terms of the size of the block grant in real terms. So you have to think about it in that context. And then in terms of the temporary COVID related consequentials, those will be about 1.3 billion in 21-22. That's actually quite a lot down. You'd expect it to be down on this year, but it's quite a lot down from the 8.2 billion that's been allocated this year. And so effectively the UK government at the moment is assuming that the vast majority of that temporary COVID related spending that we've seen this year is going to not need to persist next year.
So given these figures that we have more certainty of now after Wednesday in terms of the size of the block grant that the Scottish Government sort of has to play with, and various announcements that the Chancellor made in terms of services in England, what do you think the big choices are that the Scottish Government and Kate Forbes are going to have to think about when they deliver their budget on the 28th of January?
Well, there'll be a lot of difficult choices. I mean, there is still quite a bit of uncertainty around some of these allocations. I think that the Scottish Government really should be looking at these in terms of what its minimum allocation for next year might be. There's a quite strong case, I think, for saying that actually the COVID-related spending next year will need to be higher than what the UK government has currently set out. And indeed, the UK government has sort of put a reserve aside for some COVID-related spending. So there may be additional consequentials that flow. One area in particular, for example, is in terms of non-domestic rates reliefs. At the moment, the UK government is basically planning, or its plans at the moment imply that the rates relief for businesses in the hospitality and retail sector will be taken away completely next year. Now, if they reverse that decision, even partially, if they decide actually we need rates reliefs for, say, the first 6 months of the year, or we'll have 50% rates relief rather than 100% rates relief, then that could deliver quite a large windfall to the Scottish budget that is not yet in those plans, in the baseline. But unfortunately, we won't know. The UK government's basically sort of punting that decision into the early part of next year. And that doesn't necessarily help the Scottish government in its planning, because there's a degree of uncertainty around what the UK government might end up doing in relation to some of those things. So there is still some uncertainty, and there are clearly, you know, the usual difficult choices about, well, if you've got a budget that's going up 3.5% in real terms, big pressures on the NHS as per usual, how does the Scottish government decide whether to follow the UK government in some of its policy decisions or set a different path? So there are things, for example, like on public sector pay, the UK government set a fairly tight policy out there. Be for the Scottish government to decide to what extent it wants to follow that or follow a different path. And on, for example, something like council tax, the settlement for English local government was largely based around the idea that councils in England will be able to raise council tax by up to 5%. The actual grant from the UK government to councils isn't increasing by much at all. So again, you know, will the Scottish government decide that it will allow councils in Scotland to go for 5% increase, or will it set a different policy? Last year, we saw council tax increases of around 4-5% in Scotland. There is still a big gap between council tax in Scotland and in England and Wales. It's quite a bit lower in Scotland than in England and Wales. So on the one hand, there's a case for sort of trying to at least maintain parity, but of course council tax increases are regressive. And you know, the council tax, as everyone knows, is a pretty poorly designed tax. So there are difficult choices here, as there always are.
So that's some of the kind of short run issues that Scottish Government will be having to think about. But obviously also with a mind to the longer term and, you know, delivering outcomes. And where are we in terms of, you know, the prospects for, you know, future austerity, balancing the books, as many people are refer to it, but you know, it's not as simple as that, is it? It's not it's still very possible for the UK government to be borrowing and to be doing so at relatively cheap rates. So I wonder if we could just get your thoughts on that, about you know, are we going to have to urgently you know, switch to austerity to prevent a crisis, or it was actually is it a bit more nuanced than that?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, there are lots of uncertainties. But one thing we do know for certain is that the economy is going to be smaller in the future than we thought it was going to be a few years ago. That's partly because of Brexit, and that's partly because of COVID. We don't know exactly how much smaller the economy will be, but it will be smaller as a result of those two things. And of course, a smaller economy raises less in revenues and therefore provides the government with fewer resources to spend on public services, unless it is prepared to borrow more or it's prepared to raise tax. And what we've seen in the course of the last year is the debt ratio, debt as a percentage of GDP, rising to over 100%. And of course, the deficit this year, 18% of GDP, and still expected to be around 4 or 5% of GDP in 2024-25. And historically, we would have looked at those numbers and this hit to the economy and thought that looks potentially like fiscal policy doesn't look very sustainable, and we might need to do something about that in terms of austerity, in terms of tax increases. But there's a sort of effectively a get out of jail free card here at the moment, which is that the costs of servicing that debt are staggeringly low. I mean, it's incredible how low the costs of servicing government debt are at the moment, to the extent that we're spending less on servicing debt this year, even after all this additional borrowing, than we thought we would be spending a year ago. So it's really incredible. And it means that you can look at the question of fiscal sustainability in quite a different way. And rather than worrying about the debt ratio, if you think about fiscal sustainability in terms of how much the government spends on servicing the debt, then there's a case for saying that we really don't need to worry about a deficit over the next few years that's 4, 5, 6%, and debt that is rising as a percentage of GDP, because the servicing costs of that are really very manageable in historic terms. So I think that'll be an interesting space to watch. The debate there will run. There will still be people who look at the debt ratio numbers and the deficit numbers and argue that we need some combination of tax rise and or spending cuts. And there'll be the flip side of that argument that says, actually, those are not the right numbers to look at. And if you look at this other way of considering fiscal sustainability, then the need for austerity is over the next few years is not strong at all.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And ultimately, it comes down to choices, and that, you know, there are a range of choices in the months and years ahead. And there are lots of factors that will influence those choices, and debt servicing costs will be one of those. But it's important to look at all these things in the round. And there was one notable thing that wasn't mentioned in the spending review, which a lot of people thought would be brought up, which was about the future of the temporary increase to universal credit that was brought in March last year. I think a lot of people were disappointed that it wasn't part of the spending review, although, you know, being the type of, you know, spending it is, it doesn't sit very well in a spending review type situation. But that has now looks like the decision's been deferred into the new year. Once it's a bit clearer, it's the reasons that have been given as to what the situation will be with COVID come the start of the next financial year. And that might have implications for what the Scottish Government decide to do as well in the budget, given their child poverty targets and thinking about the future of the Scottish child payment. So plenty of decisions, and hard decisions, no doubt, for the Scottish Government to be thinking through. Thank you, David. That was a really interesting discussion. So I'm going to turn to Mary now to talk about the GDP statistics that came out this week. So these were from Scotland, and they were estimates for September. And, you know, do we have good news, or is it all bad again?
The good news is that the Scottish economy continues to grow. And, you know, after the large contractions we saw during March and April, we have seen the economy recovering. There was particularly better recovery during, you know, the summer when things were opening up significantly. So a lot of businesses that hadn't been operating at all were starting to operate, which you would expect would add quite a lot to GDP. But growth has slowed in September to 1.6%. And, you know, normally then that as a monthly figure would be amazing. But given the low base we got to in April at the sort of the trough of the downturn, you know, we are slowing up quite a lot, and we still remain about 7.5% below the kind of pre-pandemic peak. And one of the main features of the data is the disparity between different sectors. So some sectors have managed to cope pretty well throughout the pandemic. We saw a wee bit of a dip during lockdown, but they've managed to get back to pre-pandemic levels very quickly and are growing more or less at normal rates. Whereas some sectors, particularly those that are related to hospitality and tourism, such as accommodation and food services, or arts, recreation and culture, you know, they are significantly still below pre-pandemic levels. And we do have to remember that this data only goes up to September at the moment, as you mentioned. So during October, we obviously saw further shutdowns on the hospitality industry with the sort of 2-week pause, which became a 3-week pause. Although I don't know about you, but it's hard to remember all the different sort of phases of lockdown we've had. So there's definitely evidence from other data out this week from the business impacts of coronavirus survey that did have a you know, there was more closures, of course, as you would expect during October. We've seen some opening up in November as we move to the tier system, but there's likely to be further shutdowns as significant parts of the country move to tier 4 in the later half of November. So in terms of what we might expect going forward, it's likely that we're going to see a contraction in growth in Q4 and perhaps in Q1, depending on how much of the country is sort of put into these harsher restrictions in tier 4.
So a continually moving picture. and I expect, obviously, there's a lot of pressure on a lot of businesses in the run up to Christmas in terms of that's when they make most of their money. That's going to be concerning, particularly for the hospitality sector. And what depends what happens to the retail sector in parts of the west of Scotland and tier 4. Obviously most of them are closed down at the moment, so it's going to be a very challenging time, no doubt, for those businesses, and I mean that could be a crunch point in terms of whether businesses actually are there to reopen come the end of restrictions, which, you know, do feel in sight with the vaccine, you know, but still are a long way away if you're a business trying to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything we're hearing from businesses through our own Scottish Business Monitor and other business surveys is that, they have taken on more debt throughout this period, and they've maybe delayed some bills, such as their VAT bills. You know, perhaps they've taken on some of the loans from the government, but you know, they are sort of hanging on a wee bit. As you say, many of particularly retail and hospitality businesses make a lot of their money at this time of year. We're yet to see exactly how much restriction there'll be after the 11th of December, when the tier 4 restrictions are supposed to come to an end, and therefore how much they may be able to make between then and Christmas. But whilst there is this sort of light on the horizon, maybe for the spring, you know, it is going to be a long, hard winter for a lot of these businesses in these sectors that have suffered the most in the last 9 months. It's still going to be very hard, and we can't forget that.
Yeah, and we have a Brexit as well to add into the equation come January. So all of these things together means it's going to be, you know, another set of roller coaster months. And so in December, we've got some work that we are going to to publish and talk in terms of looking ahead to some of these issues. Mari, do you want to give us a bit of a sneaky peek in terms of what some of that will be?
Sure. So yeah, on the 15th of December, we're going to be publishing our quarterly economic commentary. And in this, we're going to be looking ahead for the next few years in terms of what the pathway of the Scottish economy might be in terms of different scenarios for growth. So kind of what the OBR has been doing for the UK, we're going to look forward for Scotland to see what the outcomes might be for Scotland under different scenarios. We're also doing a significant piece of analysis on the areas that were impacted badly by COVID, the areas of the economy, and how those might interact with the areas that might be vulnerable in terms of Brexit. So there's some quite interesting analysis there about the sorts of sectors that are vulnerable under both sets of circumstances. And of course, we're going to be doing a huge amount of analysis on what we're looking forward to expecting in the Scottish budget at the end of January. So we'll have a big focus on what the economic conditions and obviously the spending review and other announcements might mean for the decisions that Kate Forbes is going to have to take at the end of January when she presents her Scottish budget. But it won't just be our publication. We're planning to do a webinar on the day of publication, and we'll also have a number of podcasts around the publication of our commentary that listeners can enjoy.
Great, thanks, Mari. So thanks, David, as well, for taking part today. As always, you can find up-to-date information on what we're up to on our website, which is fraserofallander.org. We have a new article up today looking at employment for adults with learning disabilities. So if that sounds interesting, please go and take a look. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with all the commentary discussions. And we'll be hopefully doing a series of podcasts around some of those topics. So thanks again, and hope you will tune in again next time.